Friday afternoon deploy wants you to listen to the soothing sound of the rain from our office in the Mill District, Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm going to try something.
Do it.
Because there comes a time in every podcast life where you have to formalize the structure of it at least a tiny bit. And so I'm going to try and do that now.
So that's not in your face, is it?
A little bit. I feel like a little interrogated.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. They're going to ask you some questions.
I felt a lot interrogated.
Yeah.
So what if we went upside down?
It got ominous.
Can we go upside down with it?
Cover your eyes. There we go.
I confess.
Bounce light. There you go.
There we go. Oh. Now we got studio light.
Oh, man.
All right.
Formalize it.
Yeah, I didn't write this down, so I'm just going to, we're going to do it live.
Okay.
No, that was lame. I don't like that.
You didn't even say anything.
There also comes a time
when you didn't say a thing
in a podcast life.
Yeah, what?
Where you don't change things and you don't formalize the structure of it because it just feels icky. And I don't want to pre-roll out with all of our spam for where you go support the show.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right. So we'll find a time somewhere in the middle, and I'll remember to bring it out.
That's where we'll mention our Patreon and our...
And our Teespring.
Yes. And how you can go.
Now it's organic, so it's okay to talk about it.
See, exactly. See, I'm glad you brought that up, Alan.
I know it. That's what I do.
We're going to stop talking about it all the time, and we're just going to come out the front with it. And hey, thanks for tuning in. If you love the show, you could support us. We have a Patreon and a Teespring, and you can go to Friday at higherlofty.com. Yep. And find that stuff, and then we won't talk about it anymore.
That's correct. Except I did get a sweet coffee mug for myself.
That's true.
So
true story. And the leggings. The leggings are nice.
Yeah. And I think you guys should have one of each too.
Us around the table or the audience?
Anyone listening?
Got it.
Who wants to spend their money on leggings on for our everybody? Merchandise?
Chris, let us know how we did. Was that better?
I expect the text in a week.
Did we sell out less this time?
Man, it's been a week. Actually, it's been two because we went so long last week that we split it into two episodes.
Last time.
It was the last time Blake was here. He apologized last night. He wouldn't be here. He's out raising money for that pesky JavaScript meetup they did.
Oh, wait, he's raising money for the JavaScript meetup?
What a sellout.
He's also building a marketing website.
Is he really?
Yeah.
For the JavaScript meetup?
Yeah, he's working on it last night.
Yeah, he's really trying to,
he's going for it.
Yeah.
Hobbs, text Blake. I'll give you his number. You need to trash talk him now.
Yeah. What's he thinking?
Yeah.
Actually, I saw Blake last night. He came to the Python meetup. And I said, and he came in, I walked in and he was in there. And I said, oh, man. This is not the JavaScript meetup. You got your dates mixed up. No, he came out to the Python meetup to support Python and maybe me. I was speaking at the thing last night.
I think he was, making a good impression so that we'll come and speak at his JavaScript meetup.
I will go. Okay.
Because we did
throw
it out.
Any one of us can do it. So I'm not trying to take it away from anyone.
Because we could all do a Vue thing.
I was going to say, I will happily do a Vue talk at the JS meetup. Unless one of you wants to do it.
I'll take it from you. That later on in this year, if he had no one else to do it, I would jump in.
Congrats. Austin's in.
He's
in.
New voice on
that's
the podcast.
Austin. Yeah, that's Austin. Yeah. New employee here at Lofty. New voice on the podcast. He might even be a patron.
I am a patron.
He's a patron.
I've been listening for a year and change.
Old school.
He's a fan. Yeah.
We're not. You're not funding yourself.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of patron goals, how far are we on the Blake buys or Blake gets leggings?
Not close. Although, and I have to go back and double check this, because we split that episode into two, because we went for
Oh, that's true. We can combine them.
We don't know when we actually made the offer. I'm not sure if that offer has actually landed in the ear holes of the listeners, although they'll probably have heard it soon.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Like a $20 offering, then
pretty sure that was the deal. If we got $20 a new Patreon,
he was asking about it last night.
We'd be putting him in some Friday afternoon deploy leggings.
So I want to put him in some leggings.
Yeah, I want to see that happen.
Yeah.
I will.
We all do.
If I have to do, if I have to come push this boulder, I'm positive.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. I appreciate you checking, but yes.
Yeah.
I am certain of few things, but that one I feel good about.
Yep.
So welcome on the show. Is this the first time you've sat on the show with us?
It is.
Congrats, man. It's been fun having Austin on the team. We'll see how he does on the old podcast.
From the outsider listening in, I can attribute my listening has been just because you all are genuinely that funny. Like, it is an enjoyable listen. So from I start as a listener
and now kissing my ass, Austin.
Hobbs is gonna hate that.
we're giving ourselves 5-star reviews here. No, I appreciate that. Tyrell, I don't know when it was, a couple of months ago, made the astute observation that none of us had made yet, which is that we are not a tech podcast.
No.
We are actually an entertainment podcast.
Yep.
Where software development is the vehicle.
Yeah.
That is the bun upon which our... Never mind. That's going wrong. Yeah. Our hamburger is carried.
Chris Brand, he described it best, I think, on his... in the talk he gave at the Python meetup. Oh, yeah. He described it as a water cooler.
The water cooler conversation.
I think that's a great... Yeah.
So Chris works from home.
Right.
And he said, like, I don't get that water cooler conversation with the other devs on my team. And so I get that out of the podcast, which is cool. And we've heard that from a few of our listeners.
Yeah, and speaking of, did you guys see the email we got from
the land down under?
From the land down under?
I did. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw Tyrell was on that.
Okay, good.
Well, I'd say it was Dusty was his name, I believe. Maybe I'm thinking of a different email. But there was definitely a listener from Australia, and I was able to... he had some questions about some JavaScript frameworks, and obviously we're Vue folks, so sent him some advice there. But he had a background in .NET.
Did you tell him to do Vue?
No, actually, because he's got a background in .NET, and I know Angular seems to be where most of the .NET community lives, but React is super popular by everyone, and it's eating the world. And there's some real specific websites and tutorials about connecting React with .NET MVC and things like that. So just like, gave him no explicit direction, but a little clarity. Like,
that's good.
Tony was his name. I don't know why I said Dusty.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Tony.
Something interesting on that stat you just gave. Vue is actually, they just did the final roundup of the GitHub stars for Vue versus React, and Vue was +9,000 over React this year.
Yeah.
In 2019.
Yeah.
+9,000?
Yeah.
+9,000.
Screw Facebook.
Awesome. I dig Vue. I was thinking about this on the way to work this morning for some damn reason. I was just like,
it's why we do what we do, I guess, right?
If I weren't, I'd probably be in the wrong profession, but I was, and I was like, man, you know, I hate JavaScript. We all, that's like 85% of the content of the show. And truthfully, I still don't like the language.
No.
But I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I really do like building stuff in Vue. I actually enjoy that framework. I hate the language I have to implement it in, but the paradigms and everything. And it's the newest framework that I've picked up personally and just felt like I just cruised right into it. And for a long time, my feeling, maybe some of the other folks on the team felt the same way when we were first looking at it, was like, can it really do it though? It wasn't as popular as React. You knew you could build anything in React, and you knew you could build anything in Angular because people had proven
We started just shoving it at the bottom of Django templates.
That's better than jQuery, right?
Can it build a spa? You know?
Yeah. And it was like, we know it can, but can it, what is the day that feature request comes in when we go, ah, fuck. we picked the wrong framework. They can't do that.
Yeah.
And I can say with confidence, especially on the current project you guys are working on right now, you can build anything with Vue, 100%.
Yep.
Because I wasn't even sure that it was possible to build the application that we're building. I mean, like, rendering 3D stuff on the GPU and the browser was like, I mean, someone can do that, but like, as far as using common tooling and open source framework and stuff like that, but you can build anything in Vue. I am fully confident now.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It is, yeah. And that's a proud accomplishment because DeckGL, they do have the React component that you just would plug in.
Because because you can do anything in React.
And that's the thing. Well, you just import the component. React
component. Yeah,
there's exactly. So much prior art in React, and everyone seems to be doing that. And then there's React Native. That's part of why I was telling in the conversation.
Oh, thank you. See, this is what happens when you don't have headphones.
Yeah, there you go.
That's part of why I mentioned React to Tony was because it is so competitive. That's what everyone's using. There's so much dockability with existing things. And then you, on top of that, you get React Native. So if you need to do a mobile anything, you can do that. Because Vue Native is not really a thing.
No, it's
a thing.
Last we looked at it, was first step.
Transpiled to React Native.
Install React Native.
Yeah.
Now write your Vue code.
I think the creator of Vue, Evan, he mentioned Vue 3 is intended to hope to incorporate more native apps through what they're doing.
I would be so happy.
It would be cool.
I would love to be able to write
a fake
native, because it's fake native.
Let's be honest.
A fake native app.
Yeah.
In Vue instead of React Native.
I'd be all about that. I'd be cranking out mobile apps left and right just for funsies.
It'd be a mobile shop.
It would be fun.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mobile first.
Just mobile everything.
Yeah. Like, why are you putting that on a website?
Oh, you got to have an app.
That's a sweet dashboard.
Aren't you even serious about your company? You need an app.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, cool dashboard, bro, but wouldn't you like to see that condensed to a screen that's 2.5 inches wide?
don't you want to have to scroll to see anything meaningful?
Forever.
Yeah. Just swipe,
just stack,
and not have to open up your browser to do so? Mm-mm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to like?
Mm-mm. And it can blow up your pocket, all these push notifications. Oh, just out the wazoo, man.
Heck yeah.
And we can take your contacts and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll and
because that's in the service agreement that you're like, give us access to that.
That's what we need.
Yep.
Yep. Vue Native. We'll build the Vue Native module, the de facto standard for stealing your location data.
Yeah.
And that'll be our open source claim to fame. Like, are you stealing location data? Congratulations on your success. Here's the library to do it. That would legit be cool, though, an actual Vue Native that doesn't just transpile to React Native. Because that's a Rube Goldberg device.
But is it really? Because if enough people get tired of the way apps are, maybe apps will just go away.
If I hope
so. Everything in a little browser.
Yeah, I would love to see. Honestly, that's a regression I wouldn't mind one bit.
No.
Truthfully.
Apps obviously got a lot of hype, and then it really did kind of become, I've got to have an app.
I don't even feel like it's a regression. I feel like they weren't, like, mobile browsers weren't really capable. People didn't make their websites to look good in them because apps came along. You're like, just make an app and a website.
Yeah, and it was easier then to utilize the hardware of the device natively. Right, in native code, like to use JavaScript, but in the era when everyone started to have a smartphone in their pocket that had an accelerometer, there was no JavaScript API to access the accelerometer in the browser. But now there is, and then for a long time it was like, why do I need a native application? It's like, well, maybe if you're doing some really heavy lifting on the GPU. And that's starting to go away with most types of applications. You can now do, our app, DeckGL. By Uber runs great on my phone and renders on my phone's GPU all of our mapping graphics on that application, which is super cool. I would still say gaming, boom. Because you have, at least on the Apple side, Metal and their APIs that are a lot more robust for true, like, 3D graphics. If you're, like, doing shaders and lighting effects and things like that, I wouldn't. Well, I sure as hell wouldn't want to write that in JavaScript. Mm. I don't want to write anything in JavaScript, really. But yeah, that I think you still have those components. So that's about the only use case for a native mobile app that I see these days, though.
I'm waiting for the day that mobile or phones end up being our laptops. One device everywhere.
Yeah.
The other form of your regression. Mm-hmm. We don't go away from apps. Everything just becomes an app, and we all just start using our phones.
They sort of are for some people.
That's true.
Yeah.
People that only own an iPad, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
But it's got a keyboard, and they can send email on it, and like, oh, well, that's what most people use a laptop for. Yeah, I guess that's right.
Was it? I feel like this is something we've brought up before, but instantly I think of PhonePad, wasn't it? Mm. The Padphone. There was a product that came out, and there's a epic presentation video. It wasn't at CES. It was like Asus or some Asian hardware manufacturer came out with Padphone.
I'm Googling Padphone now.
And the unveil video was amazing because the CEO is out there, and like he unveils this thing. He's like, "What is this?" He's like, "Is it a pad, or is it a phone in a pad?"
Oh my god!
It's Padphone.
I'm looking at a picture of it now.
Yeah. And it's literally a hardware device that is a phone, and you dock your phone into it, and it becomes a tablet.
It's a tablet that you slide a phone into.
So the first Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, the video for that is amazing. Padphone.
I remember
Padphone. Was it Asus?
It is Asus.
I knew it.
Oh, that checks out. That makes sense.
So we all need Padphone.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a phone, and then you dock it into a bigger
phone
screen.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get those cables that hook your TV up to your phone.
Yeah.
And then just get a
keyboard.
Yeah.
But you can't touch your TV then.
You
can touch the Padphone. Checkmate. Yeah.
There it is. They did a terrible job on the marketing for this because they were so excited about the phone docking that if you do a Google image search for this thing, every picture is it from the back. It's just like, okay, well, I see that you slide a phone in there, but that just looks like a piece of plastic. And then I found like one photo where someone actually took a like a promotional shot that shows the screen on the front of the pad phone.
Shows it like working other than docking it, right?
Yeah, which goes to show you their marketing didn't go well. The internet wasn't circulating pictures of it. It was just a bunch of people taking pictures of it going like, look at how stupid this is. And the sliding mechanism is all that needed. The good news is
I bet I can find one cheap on eBay right now.
You probably can.
Yeah.
For one of these images, oh wait, I got them right in front of me. $109. Oh. Electronics Force. That's not $67 on eBay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's get one.
Let's do it.
Should we get it right now?
Oh, come on, Padphone.
I gotta go open up that Friday afternoon deploy eBay account.
Yeah. You know, speaking of apps being everywhere and places they don't need to be, I remember a couple years ago it really dawned on me like that was happening. I was at a Mexican restaurant and I saw. They have one of the little cardboard little advertisements that sits there, and it caught my eye because it's got the Washington County Sheriff's Department logo on it, and it's their app. So you can see who's in jail from your phone going to the website.
Without going to the browser.
I feel like my kid's in jail right now. I got to check real quick.
Yeah. I don't have time to open up my browser. I can just go right to the app.
You can just set up a
push
alert.
Notification.
Yeah, you set up alerts. Anybody with my last name get arrested. Yeah. You send me a push
notification. And tweet it. Just
send, you got bail money ready.
Link it to your Facebook account.
You can actually bail them out with Apple Pay if you have the app installed.
I wouldn't be surprised. That would actually be kind of impressive.
Yeah.
How else are we supposed to collect your mail?
Yeah.
Like over your phone.
Now we can do it with near field communication. That sounds awesome. Someone use that. Someone listening. Apple Pay bail.
There's a Mexican restaurant in Bentonville that they replaced their entire menu with barcodes. So you get a picture and then a barcode, and you have to use your phone to scan the barcode to read the recipe.
I would leave.
I was so mad. Yeah,
that makes me want to eat at Taco Bell.
That would frustrate me too.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. Like,
so when I order this, are you just going to text me a picture of the taco? Yeah. Or do I actually get a physical taco that I can eat?
when the waiter came back, I asked her to just describe what was in the actual meals instead of me looking it up.
Did she do it?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She wanted that tip. Yeah.
She probably just got used to it because she's like, oh yeah, all these people come in here, they hate that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I got it memorized now.
I'm hungry. I don't have time for this. Like,
yeah. I don't want to scan something.
No, that's a terrible time to be scanning a thing.
That's like, I can go. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's the antithesis of why
it's already weird. Like, you go to a new restaurant and then they come over like, I'll give you another minute. Yes, please give me another minute. Like, and then I'm trying to download the thing. I don't know. I can't. Like, the barcode won't work.
Sorry, I had my Wi-Fi turned off.
I just want a taco. Yeah.
So what's your Wi-Fi? And then they just say it to you, and you're like, is that right? No.
Like the Wi-Fi, there's a QR code on the wall that if you scan it, that'll have the Wi-Fi password on it.
Yeah, I saw a good meme about like, what's your Wi-Fi password? And then it was like this German guy describing the longest German word. That's how I feel. All right, hold on. It is.
German compound words are a work of art for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a legal term, if I'm not mistaken, the longest German word. I can't.
Yeah, I can look it up. I'm not going to try and pronounce it, though.
No.
It is a legal term.
Longest German word. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to get that. 42 letters long, though. in English, it's Danube Steamship Company Captain. Is the longest German word.
That's classic, very specific.
That is the classic longest German word. I don't know. Actually, here's a much longer one.
Yeah.
What is this? Association for the Subordinate Officials of the Head Office Management of the Danube Steamboat Electrical Services. So apparently Danube translates to something very long, because if you're going to put a proper noun into your longest German word, you go with Danube.
It seems to be.
That is great.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't tell you. Can't pronounce it. Mm. Is long, though. Not related to that at all.
Oh, man, I got so excited. I thought you were winding something up to give it a try.
Yeah.
And I was just, come on, Casey.
No. Abort. Back button. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I should, you know what we could do is I could paste it into text-to-speech. Mm. Alexa, say this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll try that.
Do it in the terminal.
What is the command for that? I could do that.
I knew this.
We're going to do it.
I used to do it all the time.
Do you just tell it say?
Just say?
Hang on. I got a terminal right here. And I don't want to close Parappa or DJ.
Don't.
New tab.
Is he working again?
Unmuted channel.
Yeah, I got him fired back up this morning.
Let's try it.
I was disappointed when I called on Enhance. Yeah. The hip-hop air horn.
Tom.
Oh, it does work.
No. Austin said Enhance this morning, and then I instantly quit listening to anything else he said.
Yeah, I love it.
I was like, hold on. He had something important to say, and I was like, no, I have to trigger the...
The robot will say it over the...
All right, check it out. It works.
Enhance.
Yes, okay.
Let's
have Mac phone, or whatever this is, text-to-speech on the Mac.
Yeah.
I gotta look up the longest German word again. This is going to be great.
Oh, man.
This is going to go well.
This is the content.
Oh, so well.
This is why people...
Yes. What could go wrong?
This is why you tune in.
What was... we did have a thing for a while in another channel that Parappa used to live in, where it took your text...
Sent it to Amazon Polly.
And then downloaded
an MP3 and played it over the Sonos.
Yeah, so you could just type something in and specify the voice that you wanted to do it in. Say thing.
The Polly voices all have the personas that are named. I forget the Russian lady's name, but that one was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Ivanka or something.
Yeah,
all right,
I think it was. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Donaudampfiffhrtsell.
I could do that.
I literally just sang the letters.
I could do that.
It just gave up.
It doesn't even know. It's like, that's not a word.
It's still going, though.
Does it only do English? That might be it.
It might be it.
How do I?
Maybe it doesn't know.
Be right back. Installing the German language set for this Mac. Let me see if there's a help on the say command.
Yeah.
I can choose voice.
Can you get Google to say it?
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you can.
Yeah, yeah, pipe that through. Yeah, you can through the browser, yeah.
Google text-to-speech.
Pipe that through. There we go.
Oh, well, we're going to get it.
Google's on it.
German. Google. Text-to-speech German.
Then it'll say it.
Google's stolen so much German data, it knows how to say these words.
There's we have listeners in continental Europe, and some of them are from Germany, and they're listening right now, and they're going, these guys are fucking stupid.
Ah, we're American. What can we do? What can we do?
I dare them to say the word squirrel.
But really, do they know this word? I don't know. Do they use it?
No. Probably not regularly, no. I would imagine not.
Try it free. Oh, yeah.
What are you trying for free?
The Google text-to-speech. And I'm hoping that gives me a place to just paste words and then I'll have to use Google Cloud.
Just all the Google AdWords.
Just Google
you get for like
translate .google.com and then
German cars.
Paste that sucker in there.
So much German stuff in your Google presence now.
It does let you play back the translation.
Yeah. Do
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Do it.
Let's hear it. Here we go.
Donaudampfschifffahrtselektrizitätenhauptbetriebswerkbau unter Beamtengesell.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Sounds like German.
And how? Danke.
Now Google German speaks a lot slower than native German speakers, for sure. But there were a lot of impossible sounding consonant collisions in there. Yeah.
It almost tripped up a couple of letters when it went to a no line.
It did.
It was just like...
The Mechanical Turk on the other side of Google's algorithm was like definitely stumbling over that one.
Yeah. I wonder... That one's probably not a common enough word. I know like they'll have the rating of the translation over there and stuff. I bet that one's not...
Yeah.
Not rated.
Have you seen the thing where you're looking... like at a game or something, like a Japanese game or something, and you put your phone over it and it'll show you... what it says.
Yeah.
Those are bad.
It's funny. Very, very cool. I remember one of the very first like applications I saw on a mobile device using your camera, which maybe is another category where you can't do it in the web. Like live camera image stuff. Maybe you got to have native apps for that. But,
I think so.
It was live translation. So it was OCRing in real time and replacing... and I took that with me to Dominican Republic, where everything was in Spanish, and just used this app, and I just hover over words and it would translate to English, and that was fucking sweet. Maybe still the best like use of AI that I've ever seen that's benefited me personally, at least that I'm directly
that
aware,
you're aware of.
Exactly. You know, not counting the AI that always recommends shit I want to buy on Amazon, also benefiting me personally.
Always recommends shit I already bought on Amazon. It's really what it's doing.
That sounds like a not very good AI.
Remember that one where somebody speaks into it and then you hear it back in whatever language.
It's like having a translator companion, essentially.
I worked with a few folks from India, and they were able to do live translation. He just got a new Samsung phone, and he came and demoed it, and he spoke Hindi into it, and it translated it 99% near perfection.
That's awesome.
Perfect, yeah.
That, you know, I worked on the farm for 4 years with a couple of fellows from El Salvador and a fellow from Mexico, and... you know, my vocabulary is very limited. I understand a lot more than I can say. And so that would often help me say the thing that I would know what they'd said, maybe, and then I wouldn't be able to say it, and I could say it and then be like that. or I could have them like speaking of this.
Say your thing here.
Yeah, say thing. And
speaking to the magic box.
Which I remember one of the fellows, he was an older fellow, Vicente. He got the biggest kick out of that. Like he called it Máquina. It's like your machine. Yeah. Make your machine like. Yeah. So when he wanted to tell me something, they knew I wouldn't know. Get a machina. Like, all right. Yeah. Here you go. Say it. Awesome. What are you trying to tell me? Oh yeah, you got some sweet pupusas that you made over the weekend, and I will love one. Yeah, heck yeah. Let's make that happen. Yeah. Oh,
real talk, pupusas. This place over here, is that where you got those pupusas, Austin? For
no, that was
John. That
was John.
John brought those.
John brought those. And they were next level.
So it's from this little store, like two blocks down, right?
Oh,
next
the El Salvador,
the grocery store. There's a grill in the back. We walked in there, going like, we're gonna make this happen. Some pupusas, and the lights were all turned. They have a little restaurant around the corner, and it was all dark. I'm like, fuck, they must be closed on Sundays or whatever day it was. So we're walking out, and then the lady up front was like, hey, wait, do you want something? And we're like, oh, well, it's like no trouble. And she's like, oh, it's good. Fired up the grill, turned the lights on, made us pupusas. It was amazing.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, I did not need to know that that was within walking distance of the office.
Yeah.
It is. And they told me.
Conveniently forgotten.
I actually they sent me home with a menu. I have a menu in the car that I can leave up there. And she was like, hey, just call ahead and we'll have them ready for you.
Well,
yeah. I've become a huge food of Salvador, or a huge fan of Salvadorian food.
Because
we have a nonstop supply of Mexican food here. Mm-hmm. Salvadorian food is way more next level.
Yep.
I wish we could get better Chinese food.
True story. We don't have good Chinese food here at all.
It's okay, but it could be better.
There's a place in Springdale that's pretty good. I forget the name of it.
Is it on 412? There's a bunch on 412.
I don't even think it's on 412. But yeah, that's like the only one I know that's like fairly authentic. Everything else is just buffet.
Yeah,
that tamale lady I mentioned, that we used to have a tamale lady come over to our office and deliver.
That's what I had confused.
Yeah, that's where you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well,
yeah,
she was actually, she is actually El Salvadorian.
Okay,
so it's interesting to mention. Yeah,
I've just it never occurred to me until recently, because I've started eating things. I've had pupusas a lot, but I haven't had a lot of other El Salvadorian food that's outside of that.
Yeah,
and so I've been exploring the menus at a bunch of El Salvadorian places, and it's pretty much Mexican food with like spice levels amped. Now I feel like it's got some like Greekness to it almost, as far as like the spice vocabulary for it.
Yeah, perhaps definitely the Latin influence could be strong there.
It's quite good. All right, let's hard pivot.
Yeah,
food episode.
Well, thank you for our food segment.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where we talk about food. That was a tangent.
Sponsored by Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyrell. Get your box of things. I almost got a box. I was tempted enough to look at it. I've got a dog.
A Blue Apron box?
Yeah, Pike, my dog, is a Blue Heeler Black Lab mix, and he's a chewer. And
What's
that?
Low energy, though. That's a joke.
Yeah, I was about to say. Labrador. Did not met my dog yet.
Did not compute. Yeah.
It scrambled my brain.
That's not what happens at all.
That sounds great.
Tell me how to do that.
Yeah. Where's the button?
But he, so he chews a ton of stuff. And someone mentioned a monthly, because I am not a, I'll say I'm not a fan of the box of the month movement. But there was
a $20 a month fucking like chewing gum bill,
right? But there was one I almost bought one of those for my dog, because I was just like, he could chew a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and then it was like, for the, you know, get your first, your boxes as low as $27. It's like $27 a month for my dog
in
to chew a box of stuff.
To have maybe 2 minutes of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PetSmart.
Essentially.
PetSmart's got those huge buckets out in the front. Yeah. It's like 99 cents. You can go get a stuffed toy. Lasting 30 minutes. Yeah.
We've gotten some from Chewy that there was one that we may still have somewhere. That was Hodges was the same way when he was younger. He's kind of, he likes stuff with a squeaker in it.
We want the mellow.
He's getting more specific with his taste.
Oh, okay.
But we got a... it's like a fox, but it was made out of fireman hose.
Oh.
So I don't think he chewed that up.
Nice.
Smart.
Yeah.
This lady that works with my mom, she has some big dogs. So she just buys them, like, she goes to the garage sales and buys all the stuffed animals for like 50 cents.
And just then lets tear through it.
Yeah, because she knows that he's going to tear it up no matter what.
Right. Which is what they love. Yeah, that's the
my
whole
dog,
point
he pretty much... he would chew stuff up when he was younger, but he pretty much figured out if I chew it up, I don't get to play with it anymore. And she's not going to get me any more toys. So I'm going to make this one last.
Betty is a real sociopath. and if you look at it, if you see her, it checks out.
They did find her wandering down Dixon Street.
That's true. And she looks fearsome. She's a pit boxer mix, and her ears were docked and all kinds of stuff. And she's just a big baby, but she looks like a killer. And she's old. She's like fucking 17 or something. We don't really know.
She's like 250 in dog years.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's never been, you know, I've had a lot of dogs that, like, you give them a toy and it's got a 15 second shelf life. And we gave Betty her first toy like that. I was like, let's see how this goes. Brutal killer dog. And she, like, carried that thing around gently for months. But if you've ever had a dog like this, sometimes just one day they look at that toy and they said, all right, motherfucker, today's the day.
Today's the day I shake you.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. And it's murder practice is what they're doing. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, grab it by the neck and give it a good shake.
Yeah.
And that's why it makes me feel like she's a sociopath, because she just, like, drags it along.
Yeah.
And, like, just the looks corpse. At it. Yeah. No, like, no. Like, just plays with. No, it's just like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Just not yet.
I'm going to keep it around.
Oh, okay. For, yeah. I got you.
You can just wait for the guillotine to drop for the thing. Yeah, I think she's I think she's like
trying to instill fear in it.
Yeah, she's got this, like, stuffed squirrel and she's like getting in its head, you know.
I have a golden doodle terrier mix, and all the toys we get him, he'll tear it down instantly, 15 seconds, but he'll only tear it down to, like, the last eighth of whatever toy it is, and he leaves them everywhere, but he will never finish the last eighth. So in my living room, I have, five toys that are all just the last eighth, and he will never finish them.
That's like the head on a pike. That's
He's like the predator. He collects the
trophies. Yeah.
The trophies and the warning to the next one that comes, exactly. You know, like, yeah.
Those stuffed toys don't stand a chance.
My uncle did that with gophers.
What?
He would shoot a gopher and hang it on his fence.
Boy,
and he was just like,
as a warning to the other gophers
not to come around my yard. Yeah. There'd be dead gophers.
He's putting a lot of stock in their intelligence.
He would just rot there on the fence.
I'm sure he scared someone off.
Probably not a gopher.
Not this yard.
So I don't know why the super long German word, as I was pasting it into a box on the internet. Maybe it's because I was using technology and it was a novelty, but I got to thinking about our novelty API idea that we had earlier today. Tyrell, I don't know if you've already forgotten.
I probably have.
You guys ever met, like, you know what I'm talking about when I say, like, a novelty API? Do you ever see, like, people just put up a gag API?
Yeah.
Well, Star Wars to-do list.
Or like
Chuck Norris one.
Chuck Norris API. Or just other ones that are, like, you know, poking fun at some developerism. Or, like, even non-APIs, but, like, the is Chad Morris fired yet? Right. .com.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
That was a great
I'm
one.
I'm pretty sure if I go there, it just says yes.
There's already a new Sam Pittman fired.
Yeah, Sam Pittman fired Zardia. We haven't even played a game yet.
well, we're Arkansas fans.
Arkansas football.
Yeah. I wonder who our next coach will be.
So we're working on this project, and we're working with this data vendor that charges a lot of money, like 5 figures per year for access to this API.
I remember.
I know the ones.
Yeah, and we threw some data at it. And this super expensive API, it has 2 different formats that it'll export to, and it's supposed to be the exact same data. It's just different file formats. I can go ahead and say it's GeoJSON and shapefiles, so if you've ever worked with geodata. And
not XML?
Not XML.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So we threw data in to ask it to convert to 2 different outputs. And we get different information in the outputs. One of them we get... There's a numeric column that is, like, central to the data set that we get some really weird numbers, but we get numbers. And when that's a custom format. And when we use their standard run-of-the-mill, you paid $10,000 this year for our API, you just get back a bunch of zeros.
Oh.
I don't know why. It's definitely broken.
Well, you paid for them.
That's right. Yeah. And I laughed about it.
You wanted that column as well. You need the premium service.
That's right.
That's going to be another figure.
Speaking of zeros, we have to add onto the bill. And so I was laughing about that, and I said, you know, like, what the hell are we paying for this API for? It's zeros as a service. And then it hit me, and I want to build zeros as a service. So tell me, I'm going to throw the general idea out here, and tell me if you've got any other feature ideas for it. Okay. But it's an API, you hit it, it gives you zeros. Yeah. But it gives you zeros however you want them. You want 1 zero, you get 1. We can do bulk zeros, okay? You give us a range, we'll give you that many zeros.
I like it.
Unit conversion, so hexadecimal zeros, that's 0x00. binary zeros.
Yep. We'll get to zero is a string.
Zero is a string.
I was going to say zero, an array of zeros.
An array of zeros.
String, yeah, zero as a string, but as prose, like as letters, and translated to multiple languages. So zero in every language you want.
I see. So
floating point zeros, double precision zeros.
So there's actually a version of the word zero
to do here. That
translate
could,
that into other languages,
or translate it into byte strings.
Yes,
bytes of UTF-8.
Give me back
encoding.
An MP3 from Polly of saying
someone
zero.
Saying the word
of
zero?
Saying zero.
Yeah, in that's, whatever language I specify.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or accent for that matter.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a query parameter I pass in.
I
give my zeros.
Arnold Schwarzenegger saying zero.
Yeah.
Zeros as a service. I think it's got legs. And I think we should open source it. I think we should start
absolutely.
It. And I think our listeners should contribute to it. And we should stand it up. And we should see how far we can take zeros as a service. Because I think it can go deep.
Lock down that domain now.
Oh, shit.
Hey, it's okay.
We're not live streaming.
I love the panic. He was like, oh, no, you already ruined it.
What do you get if there's an error? Do you get more zeros?
Exit code
you
zero.
Get You get a one for an error. Yeah. We break the paradigm.
You get an error 500 minus 500. Because that's another zero. Zeros as a service. And you can charge, apparently, we just found this out today, Tyrell and I, you can charge $10,000 a year to send people zeros over an API. You just got to send them a lot of zeros.
Yeah,
a lot
of them. Yeah. Business model.
Uh huh.
So you can. Oh, we need to be able to send it a CSV and convert it all to zeros.
Each row, each cell, zero.
Put your file here. We will convert your file to zeros.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It can have an image thumbnailing service where you send an image and it sends you back a 0x0 JPG of the same image.
Or an image of a zero.
An image of a zero. Choose your font. It can have a ROM endpoint and it sends you back zero wing for NES. this can go deep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop giving ideas. We'll set up a repository for it where it's gonna be written in Python.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just throw GitHub feature requests and or pull requests at it.
Yeah.
Zero as a service. Make it happen. We'll put it on the Heroku free tier.
Yeah.
And then they'll kick us off of that real quick.
Fire up those dinos every time somebody hits it.
This show is going to turn into a daily stand-up for it. I'm going to be like, we're going to open up the show and talk to the audience and be like, all right, what are you guys working? Are you guys block mining anything?
Is anyone resolving issue 53?
We had an architecture meeting. zeros as a service. I'm stoked. Zero.io. That's got to be taken.
Zero.io?
That's got to be taken.
That's what I was wondering.
I'm really excited.
Who's this clown? Play.zero.io. There's a triangle. There's a interesting 80s fusion logo.
Careful what you're doing.
I can't.
That's wise words.
It's true,
yeah.
I feel like this is how I get into some weird time travel crime syndicate. Yeah. I don't know. There's nothing to click on. This is like in The Net. Have you ever seen The Net? Sandra Bullock's like, it looks like a normal website to me, which it doesn't. That's not what websites look like.
No.
Like, except for this little symbol in the corner right here. What's this piece of ASCII? And you click it and bad shit happens. I don't remember what.
No, but I remember
you had to run away.
Yeah. It was very terrible.
Zeros.io.
Zeros.
Terribly great.
OXOO.io. Zeros.
What about all the zeros.io?
I see a white screen.
GoDaddy parked.
What is this?
Hang on.
Who owns it?
Well, GoDaddy does now because I searched for it and it wasn't taken. Those fuckers. They went and reserved it. Now they're going to sell it back to me. Let me do a proper who is on that. We're going to find one. We'll let you know what it is. All the zeros. We could get zeros.io. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
How'd we do? GoDNS. Mm-mm.
What's that?
No, GoDaddy registered it in 2017.
Can you spell zeros
GoDaddy
with
mm-hmm.
zeros or zeros?
OES.
Which is correct.
Is that a valid spelling?
That is how I spelled it, yeah.
With the
E.
Did you spell it with the E?
Zeros.
Zeros. Oh, I just got so excited because of the Smashing Pumpkins song.
Just a minute. Mm. I don't know. Yeah. I'm having a moment, guys. This is...
Yeah, we gotta incorporate the Smashing Pumpkins song now.
Yeah. Real talk.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah, I just realized I don't know how to spell zeros.
Yeah, I was sitting here contemplating.
I'm pretty sure
I had it wrong the first time.
I don't think it has an E in it.
It doesn't have an E in it. And I know that because this one's taken too, but it's for sale for $100,000. And that's probably the correct way to spell zeros.
Yeah, that would make sense.
That's the one. Mm. I don't know. That just looks like the name of a that looks like the name of a Greek god to me. That's Zeros.
Zeros. Zoros.
Zeros will sell me pita.
Well, we'll find it.
Stuffed grape leaves.
Oh, hey, man. I tell you what, we can
delicious
just
pita.
We can host it on our own novelty domain, which is we could do it at zeros.lofty.codes. That can be the place for it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Of course we could promote the company with it.
Yeah.
Our audience knows that we love promoting ourselves.
Yes, we do.
This is great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
We talked about this enough, though. Now we're really committed.
Now we are obligated to do it.
We're going to really stupid if we don't do it.
We don't want to look stupid.
No, not on this show.
Not, absolutely you know, not. I mean, we do that enough daily that we got to...
Yeah,
you know.
No, that's our day job.
Yeah.
On this show, we scrub it and pretend like we know what we're doing.
Yes, and we look smart.
We had another topic, didn't we?
I was just... I have like the shell of a topic, just that.
That'll do.
Well, a funny thing was
that sounds a little too thorough for us.
A funny thing was sent to my inbox the other day, and I'm pretty sure it actually came in Python Weekly, but I just had to laugh at like us as a people, as developers, because it was a blog post in which it said, speed up your Vim Python plugin with Rust. So I'm going to write Rust.
Yeah.
Yep.
To make my Vim PyCharm. Python.
Yeah.
Syntax plugins work faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like the epitome of software developers to me.
Yeah. Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
Bro, have you ever tried writing Vue to transpile it to React Native to transpile it to Java? that's how developers roll these days.
Man, I still want to do something with Rust. You know, like learn it.
You could speed up your...
I remember Blake and I were talking about it one time on the show, and I was so excited. I went home and was trying it and was like, damn, though, that is really hard.
Yeah.
I would rather write C code.
That's real programming.
Well, and speaking,
it's different, and it's typed, and so I just come to find out it wasn't even like Go that I could get up, I could get something going in an evening before I went to bed.
I think so. It actually makes me think that Rust like really has this weird kind of culture of use, because you say that it reminds me that I briefly was watching a guy Twitch stream live coding of him coding a SNES ROM in Rust.
Mm. Rust
and then I questioned everything
A ROM or an emulator?
Emulator, excuse me.
Okay.
Emulator, excuse me.
I was like, damn, he's transpiling that shit to fucking...
It was a SNES emulator, excuse me.
Yeah.
He was live coding a SNES emulator in Rust, and he would hop on Twitch and code it. And I was just like, I'm just sitting here watching it, eating popcorn, being like, what am I doing?
How long did you watch this?
I think I made it through two sessions before I realized like I shouldn't do this anymore. It's a bad place. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But it's
how far
bad.
Did he get?
He completed it, as far as I know. I'd have to look
Rust,
it up.
Like, so Rust, like, I've seen benchmarks on it where it outperforms C++. So that's kind of where the excitement is like, you can straight up rewrite some shit and it's probably going to be faster.
Does it than it used to be? It's a super dumb question. Is it garbage collected or no?
You gotta.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And that's
so it's
where,
still that level of low level.
Yeah. And so that's where
I draw the line.
I was like, Go. I'm not cleaning Go up. Made me feel like a real programmer.
I'm not cleaning up my heap. That is someone else's job.
Yeah, pretty sure you gotta manage that yourself.
No, are you fetching beverage?
I'm fetching beverage.
Bevies?
I will take an IPA.
I'm still working.
I'm nursing
through
this
mine.
One. Yeah.
I've got a couple. I got myself a couple.
Tyrell's being a bro.
Yeah, he
hooking
is.
Hooking us up with some brewskis.
What
are we drinking today, by the way?
Oh, this
is Centennial. Oh, the Founders. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Centennial IPA.
You got the Founders the variety pack, I believe.
No, it's we got a whole case of this one.
Oh.
He got two. Got him a 12-pack of some kind of stout, and then this guy.
What did you call that kind of beer?
Tire fuel. Yeah. Or oil.
It's oil.
Tire oil.
So that is like, that's perfect. I don't like super dark beers.
Did you see where somebody put Mentos and Coke in a tire?
No.
Oh.
That sounds awesome.
And it like aired. If you were far enough away. It didn't end up blowing up. It just made the tire roll.
I have seen people mount the bead on the rim and partially inflate a tractor tire with like spraying an aerosol in it and lighting it on fire.
Mm. I've heard stories about that.
It's a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of amazing because I'm talking about like with the tire flat and off the rim.
Yeah.
On a huge like farm implement,
right?
Like the kind of thing that like you would need.
I mean, you would need
like a 50-ton jack to get that thing off, and they light it up with an aerosol, and it flops back on. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, it was when I worked at the auto park for a little bit for Honda. It was always kind of scary putting a tire on a rim with a machine that did it, and it was still scary.
Oh, yeah, it's a good way to lose a finger.
Yeah.
You ever put a tire on a rim, Tyrell?
I personally have not, but I've been around that happening, and yeah, that can get squirrely fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'd done it. I turned wrenches at Honda for a little bit. Yeah, sorry,
my uncle, if
I forgot to put the oil in your car. you're listening.
My uncle does it, and you can even see the fear in his eyes when he's trying to put that tire on that rim. Yeah. He's got a machine that does it that's trying to crease the tire around it. And you see him do it a little bit more and a little bit more.
Kind of leaning
he's just
back,
waiting for the pop.
Doing it.
He's been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah.
He's been doing it forever and still scared of it.
That's a fun moment. Anytime you see someone that's just an absolute vet at something and then you see that, and you're like, oh shit, this is real.
Yeah.
This is legit.
You have to respect it always.
I'm going to stand away from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a C programmer messing, fucking cleaning up after his memory usage.
Yeah. Managing his memory.
Yeah.
Memory
management. No, not for me. Mm. Man, I had a thought. And there it went. Did you hear the sound it made as it went flying out of the room? It might have been about rust. who could know?
Well, that's your lack of memory management there.
I got garbage collected. And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. You know, maybe it's there, maybe it's not. But someone else took care of it for me, and I don't know any different.
Oh, that's let the interpreter do that.
So we can definitely mention the nature of our week.
The nature of
at
our
least
week.
For the big at least
sounds
for,
profound.
That's not. It's not meant to be profound. Obviously, so the team's split up on two projects right now. The bulk of us are on one, and Willow is sadly kind of all.
You're on an island over there.
She's on her island.
Although I'm
killing it.
Yeah, she's knocking it out.
She's murdering that island.
Doing my best to keep up with her with code reviews because she's just crushing it.
Dr. Moreau over there. Dr.
She's
Moreau
just,
on
she's
her
just
island.
Breeding everything with the Stripe API.
New hybrids.
Like the most dangerous game.
Are you aware of Dr. Moreau, the island of Dr. Moreau?
No, but I am aware of the most dangerous game.
Yeah. Okay. So that also, I don't know if that actually takes place on an island, but
I think it is.
On an island. That's the most dangerous game short story. It turns out the guy brings, there's a dude, he's a hunter, he's got an island, he brings this really great hunter out island. To hunt the most dangerous game. Turns out the most dangerous game's a human being. Shit. Yeah.
My ninth grade mind exploded when that story was presented.
It's a big reveal in that. I also love the reference to it in, I think it's Wedding Crashers, when Vince Vaughn starts talking about it. Like, you ever just want to fucking hunt a human being? Most dangerous game? Yeah. I think that's Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
It's definitely Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
100%.
What I was going to say, though, is thankfully for Willow, the client on the project she's on didn't have some sort of Herculean request.
Nope.
But with our other client, we did.
Yep.
And we were able to make it happen.
Went well today, by the way. I have an update that you haven't heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're excited.
So, and I definitely want to hear that update.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk, I mean, we could talk about demo code.
Demo code.
Demo code. Like, sometimes you've got to write a little demo code.
You ever, like...
You got to bake a little sizzle and deploy it to production.
You ever, so like...
somebody can roll into a sales meeting.
You got a party coming up. You got people coming over. Mm-hmm. Maybe not like a house party, but just like, there's people coming over.
Right.
And maybe you take all your dirty dishes and you put them in the bathtub.
That's the laugh of a man who's done that.
Yeah.
And you're like, my house is always this clean. Yeah, totally. 100%.
Yeah, no, you don't need a shower, do you? Keep that closed.
No, do that at home.
Yeah, what are you doing peeking behind the shower curtain? No, you weren't supposed to see
shower.
What the fuck?
It's a shower party.
Yeah. That's how demo code is sometimes.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. You know? Well said.
You want to pretend that there's not a door there, so you just wallpaper over the hole.
For now.
That'll come off easy enough. As long as we don't forget that there's a hole behind that wallpaper.
That's the tricky part.
Someone write it down. Whose job is that?
Yeah. Put a card in the back wall.
Quick, measure that door where it is, because that's the other
thing. We don't forget.
There was a door somewhere.
God damn it. Where was that?
Where's that door? Walking around hitting the wall with a hammer.
So that's demo code. Yeah, we had to make a paper town a little bit.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
But it's a good paper town. I mean, like, we built features. We just, they're maybe aren't dynamic, and maybe every customer sees the same data, even if it's not their data. But they're only showing it to one customer.
That's true.
That's a true story, Willow.
Willow thoroughly enjoyed that.
Willow didn't realize that the four of us were scrambling constantly all week to end up with that result. She's like, they must be building some crazy good shit.
I'm
like, nope. We put carpet over a sinkhole.
And hopefully they buy the house. We'll fix the sinkhole afterwards.
Absolutely. That's implicit in the contract.
Like, but we need their money first to be able to fix the sinkhole.
You've got 30 days before it closes.
Right. Yeah, we'll plenty of time.
Yeah, and we're reasonably sure no one's going to walk into that room for a while anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's that weird closet.
But I think everybody's done that. Everyone's had a project. If you've ever done anything either in client services or for a product company, if you're going out chasing investors, where it's like, have you ever had that CEO? Because I've had that CEO. I've worked at that product company before.
Oh, for sure. Me
that
too.
Can be the other drive of it. We've seen this on other projects where it was a very CEO-driven thing.
Man.
Some former clients.
Oh, one of my first ones was quite the paper town.
It was
a whole app and everything. You submit data, and then it gets to the thing, and that was me.
Alan.
The thing that got your thing to the thing.
Alan was a function.
Email and, with an attack.
That's right. Alan was a subroutine that the app could call. Pass in arguments.
I mentioned it briefly yesterday. I'd written a command line tool to be able to do that, to hit this API. And it was a SOAP API. So you had to hit it a few times and see what your results were. And
it didn't return responses.
You would hit one and submit it, and then hit the other one and be all like, so how's that going? Mm-hmm. That was me. Boy, it was fun though. I mean, and this week was fun. It's fun to say that looking back.
Yeah.
Always.
Maybe not as fun when the pressure's on.
No.
But we made it through.
But I know the fun will be coming. I know that we can do it, and then I know I'll feel that adrenaline of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was, did it. Austin, this is your first project at Lofty. Atypical, okay? I'm just letting you know, we don't typically build out paper town features in the app for client demos, although it's not that uncommon.
I was going to say.
But you got to go show the investor. This is a pre-production application. It doesn't actually have clients in it yet.
Right.
It will soon have clients in it because of the demo we built. But, we had to get there. We had to get it. That was our job.
You know, it's a matter of a lot of the front end pieces there. So there is something to show that's impressive, you know, to see the way it's displayed and then maybe the back end's not quite complete yet.
That's a better example.
You know, and so that's why you want to do it.
Yeah. We've built half a house. It's just not finished. And so we just didn't want you to look through that particular doorway into the half-built house.
But the plumbing's not there, so don't flush the toilet.
Those front windows are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to see
those. The curb appeal is on point.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't come inside it. Not yet.
How many more construction analogies can we work into this?
Oh, man, we're always trying.
We did a whole episode on analogies, and it turned out that they were all construction. I don't know why. It's just like building a house, I guess.
Yeah, it's...
Except not at all, and that was the whole point of that episode.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. It's like building a house on Mars or something.
Mm-hmm, where you are in control of the laws of physics.
I just got excited because I have a Mars-based VR game that I haven't played much of, and you just reminded me of it.
Do you get to drop nukes on it and terraform it? So do you get drop nukes on it and terraform it?
No.
Do you walk around an empty planet?
It's kind of like Mars Survival.
The crazy thing about VR games,
the same
games,
one on
though?
Xbox that I've seen that I haven't gotten yet. It's on Game Pass.
It's called Red Matter is the name of the
Red
game.
Matter? That does sound like you just walk around and pick up rocks.
Yeah, it's just Red Matter everywhere.
That's the crazy thing about VR games, though, is that the immersion of it all is the experience. The gameplay can be tedious. Be like, check it out. I'm sitting at a computer typing code. This is so much fucking fun.
Did you like making dinner? Here is a game to dinner.
There's a game called Job Simulator.
Job Simulator, yeah.
And the premise of the game is robots have taken over civilization and they found you, this whole living human, and so they're doing their best to provide you an environment by which you can be normal.
Yeah.
And so it's like the robot.
They've made you a hamster cage that's like, look, it's just like your natural habitat.
Yeah. Now he's happy.
Yeah. Go work on that car.
Exactly. So I haven't played it yet. It's supposed to be pretty fun, but Red Matters is pretty exciting. I played with it just briefly. Mm. I was like, oh, this looks awesome. And then life happened.
Mm. You guys played Octodad?
Octodad?
Where you're an octopus man who's married to a regular woman, and you have kids, and you have to, like...
What do you mean by regular woman? human.
A human woman.
Okay, I'm with you now.
That sounds like some 80s marketing or something. Regular woman.
And so, like, you have to go through, like, your normal life. So the first is your wedding. You have to like get
but you're an octopus or an octoman.
Yeah, and you have to move like each tentacle and roll around your house. You have to mow your lawn, flip burgers for kids.
Aren't you trying to hide that you're an octopus too? Like there's some guy that knows you're an octopus, but you're trying to hide that you're an octopus.
So you can never show more than two limbs at a time or something?
One of the neighbors like knows you're an octopus and he tries to kill you.
Those damn neighbors.
Pesky neighbors.
They mind their own business.
That's
why
Alan moved. See the doghouse your dog's not using.
Talking to you, Stone Witch.
That's why Alan moved to Elkins.
There's like four
neighbors.
People that know what that means.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone else just thinks he swore in a strange way.
I don't get it.
Which he kind of did.
That's fine.
I'll
explain it to you later.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Speaking of later, it's later now.
It is.
And it's probably the end of an episode.
It is.
That was fun.
It was
a good one. I like having five around the table.
Yeah.
We can't take it too seriously.
No.
You gotta move quick when you got that many voices.
Yeah. Covered a lot of ground.
Sure did. All right, we'll see you in a week. Oh, I never did the fucking thing where I, like, never mind. Yes, I did.
Yeah, we did it at the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, this is why we have to have the structure because I can't remember.
I said
I was going to do it in the middle and then we did it right then.
And then you forgot that we have a Patreon account and then we have a Teespring.
A Teespring that
where
you can buy
merchandise like I did.
Up to, including but not limited to. Mugs, t-shirts, and leggings.
Yes.
And throw pillows, I believe.
And the coffee mugs are on point.
On very good coffee mugs.
Yes, very good.
You know, something else, nope, it's gone. Man, I'm having a hard time. One day, I remember now, we'll get a producer. And the producer will stand in the corner and be like, "Hey, dumbass, you didn't do the fucking pre-roll."
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, they'll be writing down time signatures and be like, "There's an edit at 1 hour, 1 minute, 59 seconds when Casey goes all meta about how he forgot to fucking do the pre-roll. and then that'll get deleted instead of what is actually going to happen, which is that people are going to hear this.
Yeah. We'll say we'll delete it, but we don't.
Yep. Well, that'll get deleted. All right. It was fun. We'll see you guys in a week. Tyrell just totally Irish goodbye to us. Look at it. He's got his jacket on. He's out the door. The audience didn't even notice. He has left the building.
Oh, he is late somewhere.
Yeah, I see that. He was walking with purpose.
He's moving. Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll see you in a week.
Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow at Friday Deploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.